Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh, Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. This is not Ken Hendricks. He has been kicked off the show indefinitely for his very incorrect views of Helen, Georgia. We would like to proclaim, myself and JT here, that Helen, Georgia is one of the greatest cities in America. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Maybe there's swingers there, but like maybe two or three. Or I guess there it'd have to be even numbers. It'd have to be four or six.
Even cooler if there's swingers in Helen, even better.
Right. What is Ken's problem? Hating on Helen, Georgia. No fun.
Right.
No fun. You got the Troll Tavern, you got the river, you got rebel flag bikinis. It's heaven on earth, man. So he's been kicked off the show indefinitely. And we don't really have a game plan on how to mix or edit these things going forward, but we'll figure it out. You know what I mean? How hard can it be?
It's like kind of like rocket science, but like a little less.
Yeah, exactly. He's a farmer.
If only we had a mathematician to help us figure these things out.
Speaking of a mathematician, we have with us, how do you explain this guy? Baseball Twitter royalty. And
yes.
I think we've known him for like 3 years now. It's been roughly 3 years. He did unfollow you at one point on Twitter, but who hasn't, JT? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Anyways,
true.
One of our favorite people, he's at Dren on Braves Twitter. You know him from the mustache pics, but he's a legend. He's a unicycle writer.
Your mom's favorite unicyclist.
Dren, right here. AKA David in real life. David, welcome to the Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Thank you, guys. It's very great to be here. This is my first ever, this is my podcast virginity right now.
Oh my gosh.
You'll never forget your first time, Dren. So I hope this ends in less crying than your other one.
That's pretty much a guarantee.
So David, you're in Utah? You're in Salt Lake, Utah?
Salt Lake City. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful slice of the country. We have a baseball team, the Salt Lake Bees.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay.
So we get to see all the Angels prospects pass through here. I remember when Mike Trout came to this part of town.
The Angels. Wow. Okay, now they have another team in Provo, right?
Well, not anymore.
Or they did? Oh, okay.
That was part of the deleting minor league teams.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, we did go to – that was actually my daughter's first ever baseball game was the Orem Owls. First ever baseball game for my daughter. She was like – 5 months old. Yeah.
Cool, man. Cool. I think Casey Kostman's dad was the manager of the Provo Angels. I only know this because there was a book written about 10 years ago. This guy, this minor league player, basically like ousted the inside culture of minor league like clubhouses.
Uh-huh.
I forget the name of it. He pitched for like 2 years. He sucked. And then he wrote this book basically like talking junk about the stuff they talk about in the clubhouses, which you shouldn't repeat. You
know? Right.
Write a book about it. I think Eric Ibar was in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Eric Ibar was.
In Provo?
Yeah. Like he was an Angels prospect. And so it was like the Provo low
it's
A.
It's the lowest level. It's the team where like draft go. It's the lowest.
Oh, so it'd be rookie ball. Okay.
Yeah.
I forget. I'll try to find the name of the book and tweet it, but it's very. It's
only thing I know about Provo, Utah State is in Provo.
No, that is BYU in Provo.
Oh. BYU's in Provo.
I went to Utah.
Okay. So David.
Provo's
like central Utah. Salt Lake City is a little bit north of that. And then I went to Utah State, which is very far north Utah,
the Aggies.
Almost Idaho.
The Aggies.
Jordan Love?
Yes. Yeah, there you go. I don't know much about football, but I know that you were talking about a football player. Probably a quarterback.
That's right. Right. Yes. Yes. Right.
So the Utah State Aggies, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. The only Aggies worth mentioning.
Do they play?
Now, what?
Do you guys play BYU?
Yeah, I at least every other year. I think we've been playing them about every year. It's the kind of rivalry where Utah State sees it as a rivalry, and when you tell that to a BYU person, they're like, wait, what?
Because BYU is like the biggest school.
BYU and like, Utah have the holy war is what they call
about it. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I'll tell about Utah is, and Dren, I know me and you both have a thing, you more so than me, but a weird fanaticism with the 1990s Utah Jazz.
Yes. I mean, that was my childhood. Before I was, I was an avid Braves fan, there was John Stockton and Karl Malone and Jeff Hornacek and JT, go ahead.
Greg Ostertag, my man. Oh, my gosh. There were so many good players on those teams, man. I love the Utah Jazz. I just thought they were cool because they were, like, the anti-cool. Like, you couldn't be, from a mainstream standpoint, you couldn't be less cool than being the Utah Jazz. Like, those names didn't go together. They were originally the New Orleans Jazz, which makes sense, right? New Orleans Jazz. Utah, not exactly known for his jazz music.
No, definitely not.
So it didn't fit. And so it was like... It was like the most uncool name with the most uncool collection of players, which made it cool in a weird way. And I thought like Jeff Hornacek was a guy like I can remember being in eighth grade and being like playing pickup basketball on the street and spotting up for a three and being like, Jeff Hornacek. Like most kids would be like, you know, Reggie Miller. And I was yelling out Jeff Hornacek because I thought it was awesome.
I loved John Stockton. He was like, when I was a kid, I don't know why. I just love John Stockton.
Oh, John Stockton.
The short shorts. Short
shorts, man. Short shorts and hairy legs. That's a man's man.
And the most efficient point guard of all time. Ooh. Like, this guy did not care about anything but getting the pass to the right guy who's going to score the basket. Stockton and Malone was... Oh, man, that's bread and butter.
So to tell you how cool Jeff Hornacek is, when I was in school at Utah State, Jeff Hornacek came up to do like a little like lecture just to talk about his career, whatever. He was long retired at that point. I think he was a coach with Phoenix. But after his lecture, he went to the gymnasium and had a three-point shootout with the best shooter from the Utah State basketball team and just murdered him. Like Jeff Hornacek, wearing like... fancy wingtip dress shoes, a suit, like the whole bit. And this hotshot Utah three-point shooting basketball player shows up in his shorts and everything. Jeff Hornacek murdered him.
Yeah, that's awesome. Beautiful. Oh, man. Man. Jerry Sloan is the most underrated basketball coach in history. Man. Oh, RIP. And, dude, I love Jeff Hornacek. For no other reason than he was the epitome of the dorky three-point shooter.
Yes.
He looked like a guy who would like do your taxes in March.
When he was like 6'6" and he couldn't dunk the ball, the rumor was that he had like bad knees or something. But I don't know. He wouldn't dunk it ever.
It's amazing.
Just a shooter.
But you know, that was the Utah Jazz. That was who they were.
Really? And awesome now team. They're going to go down as love the team guys. Who started the coronavirus pandemic. So
wait, what?
Thank you, Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert, the center for the Jazz, was like the first major person to test positive for the virus.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that he said, and then like out of his press conference, he touched every microphone.
Yeah, he was like sick. And he was making and then, jokes about it, like, "Oh, I'm sick. I'm going to get you guys all sick."
And then 2 days later, he tested positive.
Shit hit the fan.
Thanks, Rudy.
Oh wow, wow. So, how did you end up a Braves fan? Being in Utah, TBS?
I mean, it's the same answer. Well, not exactly the same answer. I was 6 years old in 1995. My brother was a Blue Jays fan and kind of a Blue Jays fan. So he was watching the World Series in 1995 and he dragged his six-year-old brother to come watch the game with him. So I watched the final game of the 1995 World Series as a six-year-old. And I know that I remember this because throughout all these years, I had one memory of that game, which was that a player was trying to bunt and he was unsuccessful. And I remember thinking that was really funny that someone wasn't able to like hit the ball while trying to bunt. And that's literally the only thing I remember about that game. I don't remember the celebration. I don't remember who won any of that. I just remember that. And a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, I wonder if I could watch that game. And sure enough, it's on YouTube. You can watch the whole thing. So I watched it. And there is a player who strikes out bunting. I think it was a Braves player. But like that's not something that happened.
And so as a six-year-old, you're thinking like, That's got to be the easiest way to hit a baseball. How is that guy not hitting a baseball in the game on the bunt?
No. It was just like in the middle of the game. Okay. A player was bunting and struck out bunting. And that's the only thing I remember is thinking that was so funny that he wasn't able to do that. And sure enough, it happened. So I know I remember that game. But the following year, I probably would have been a Blue Jays fan, to be honest, because that's what my brother was. But we weren't able to watch the Blue Jays, but we could watch the Braves. So he and I started watching the Braves together. And that's how it started, 1996. And wow. Game 6 of the 95 World Series.
And you're a huge...
Some people say that... some people say Utah is the Canada of America. So, you know, that's...
Yeah,
that does make some sense.
So, and you love Javi Lopez. That's kind of one of the things we connected on early on Twitter was I maybe tweeted something about Javi and like you. No, I did a giveaway.
Yeah.
I did a Braves giveaway. For a while before I hated everybody on Twitter, I would do some fun like Braves giveaways. and I would randomly pick a winner. And by that, I meant like I would see someone I thought was cool. And I'm like, this guy seems cool. He should win this giveaway. And I sent you a Javi Lopez card. And you thought it was like sending you a Honda Accord. You thought it was like the coolest thing ever.
Like, yeah, it was like sending me a Tesla. No, I don't really have a story for why I love Javi Lopez. I just have always loved Javi Lopez. Like his swagger, like his home runs bring tears to my eyes if I go back and watch replays. Like they're just beautiful. And I just always loved Javi Lopez. And I have like, it's like a special thing for me. I'll share this. So nobody in my family gives a shit about baseball, including my brother, who is the one who got me into it. He just doesn't care anymore. But my mom didn't like baseball, but she thought it was cool that I liked baseball. So she would go out in the yard and play catch with me, and she would watch Braves games with me and stuff. And when I would go out and play baseball, in fact, there's like an old home movie of me playing baseball with my friends, and you can hear my mom holding the camcorder being like, "Yeah, that's Javi Lopez. He just did a home run." So she would call me Javi Lopez when I played baseball. And my mom passed away when I was a teenager, so that's like a special memory. So I remember when you sent me that card, I DM'd you, and I was like, "Dude, this means a lot to me." So
that's awesome, man.
Have you read his book? Yeah. He's got a book.
Yeah, it's really good.
He's kind of funny.
Yeah,
like you don't expect baseball books to be funny, but
no, he's like good. There's a podcast right now that it's like the Behind the Braves that Ricky Mast and Greg McMichael do. But it's the Spanish side, so it's like some Latino guys that do the podcast, and they do interviews in Spanish. So they've done one with Ender, they've done one with Javi, Andrew Jones. And the Javi Lopez one is actually really good. Eddie Perez, sorry, can you guys hear that beeping? It's my phone.
I was wondering what the hell that was.
Sorry about
that. It's all good. You're good.
So anyway, there's this interview in Spanish. I actually translated it. I can send the link to like the translated document if anyone wants to read it, because it's really good.
Oh, cool.
I just realized that was kind of a weird flex. I'm fluent in Spanish.
Oh no, that's actually an insult around these parts. Just kidding.
To anyone who's followed you on Twitter, you've been flexing your brains for a very long time.
Yeah,
this is understood. I expect you to be fluent in like 14 languages. So
I'm not Aussie. No,
it's okay.
I met Javi in 2010, and he smelled great. Like he smelled really good.
You know, one of my favorite Javi Lopez, did you guys ever get the Chop Talk magazine back in the 90s?
I've got one somewhere with Dion on it. I'll show it to you.
I don't know what happened to my issues, but that was one thing that my parents did for me that they were like, okay, we think it's really weird that you love the Braves this much, but we're going to buy you this magazine subscription. And it was like 6 feet long, this huge thing. And in one article, there was... an article about Javi's personal life, and it talked about how he and his wife like to do salsa dancing, and it was like a really spicy picture of Javi and his wife salsa dancing in Chomp Talk magazine.
Wow.
So Javi's your favorite player?
Love Javi.
Like of all
he's
time?
The greatest baseball player of all time. You got Javi.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
I'll send you my copy. I've got his book right here. I'm going to send you this copy. It's autographed by him.
Wow.
I'm going to send this to you at his show. from me to you. There you go. You can have it.
Dude, you're the man.
Dude, Javi's the man, dude. Javi is, I know we just did a thing on the show about redoing the Hall of Fame. would Javi make the cut? In our redone Hall of Fame, do you think?
I think so. When I think of, he was the premier catcher.
Home runs by a catcher.
Yeah, yeah. I think he could get in, man. He was the Braves' premier catcher, you know, for all that time. But if you look at his numbers, I think he's got a strong case, dude. I really do. And I also think he holds the the Braves' single season slugging.
Probably.
Like he has the highest single season slugging. Maybe it was 03.
Oh yeah, 03.
So it was something crazy.
Right around then. Was it 03 the year that he went off and hit like 46 homers?
Yeah, 2003. Like so if Javi Lopez or if anyone had the exact year that Javi had in 03 today, like the analytics dorks would just I was going to say something really inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can say it on this podcast.
They would eat themselves.
Okay. It would be a messy situation.
You can. We have an E next to our name on the iTunes podcast. Okay. That means explicit. So feel free to say what you wish. It's okay.
It would be a messy situation because that was an incredible year.
That's what I call a sticky situation. No, but you're right. I mean, and that was. I mean, it was kind of crazy because. It was right on the tail end of all the Balco steroid things. And then 2003, or was it 3 or 4, Javi comes out in his free agent year and hits like 40-something homers. And then goes to Baltimore as a free agent and just kind of plummets.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, okay, we saw this. Okay, yeah, sure. Mm. Like, we'll turn a blind eye to whatever happened in the last season.
He was injured. Whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dren. Thank you for defending the name of Javi Lopez on this podcast.
Always and forever.
I'm not saying he did anything wrong. Look, he, you know.
You guys remember when he tried to come back? It was like remember that?
Oh,
it was like 2011 or 2012, right?
I was kind of disconnected from baseball at that point.
He got an invite to Brave spring training. Okay, do you guys remember this?
Nope.
It was 2011 or 2012. He gets an invite and he was gonna have a comeback. And Brave spring training, he kills it. He's like hitting dingers. And then Bobby didn't invite him or he didn't make the cut. And Brian Pena did, and that's when I stopped being an Atlanta Braves fan.
Understandable.
I was done.
Brian, to be fair, Brian Pena was probably the best Brian ever in Major League Baseball to spell their name B-R-A-Y-A-N.
He's got a mountain house around here. He's got a mountain house in Beach Mountain, and I've got a connection. Some guy.
Are you telling me we get Brian Pena on the show?
I tried to get him on last winter. I swear to God, I think I sent you guys a picture.
Braves legend, Brian Pena?
Yeah, he's got a mountain winter house situation somewhere on Beach Mountain, which is like, as the crow flies, like 3 miles yonder way.
Fred's General Mercantile, Beach Mountain.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know Beach Mountain. I'm familiar. Brian Pena.
I think he's like a
Braves
Christian conservative guy and all this stuff. So
I think he's a plumber.
I honestly don't even recognize that name. The early 2010s were kind of a dark period for me. I was out of the country and in college, and yeah, I didn't really.
The Jazz were terrible.
When I was younger, my parents had cable, whatever, so I could watch the Braves. And then when I was in college, I was too poor to afford anything to watch then, so I kind of just didn't. Mm.
I'm gonna have to do some recon because I think it was. I know he lost the. It was the backup catcher role, essentially, because right. He wasn't coming back to guy.
Yeah,
because I think BMAC was the guy. He comes back basically to just get an invite to be like the backup catcher. And
no, you're right. It was Brian Pena. It was definitely Brian Pena.
Okay, and I was so mad because Bobby, I love Bobby Cox, but in his later years, man,
but front office says, hey, man, Brian Pena is cheaper than Javi Lopez.
There were those 2 or 3 years when, like, he would start Garrett Anderson and Greg Norton over Matt Diaz, the greatest hitter of our generation.
No, it was Greg Norton would be the pinch hitter, the first guy off the bench. yeah. see Greg Norton be like, a robust 187.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, Greg Norton, bottom of the eighth, like, we're down one.
We'd be behind the Mets.
We're going to pinch hit Greg
right.
Norton.
We'd be two games back behind the Mets. It's like September. We're in a playoff race, and it's tied up, eighth inning. You got, remember that? David Ross, Martin yeah. Prado. No, we're going to get yeah. Greg Norton.
Nope, Greg Norton. Greg Norton comes up. Because
on paper, he's the pinch hitter. And I'm like, Bobby, you freaking
like,
moron. You need to like be in a home. You need to be in a home right now.
It's like playing with the coach's kid in Little League. And the coach's kid sucks. But he still gets like all this playing time because yeah. he's the coach's kid. It's like, dude, like Brian, oh, Greg Norton. Like, he's terrible.
Maybe it's a good thing that I wasn't really watching back at that time.
No, it was a good.
This was like 2009, 2010.
Jazz basketball.
Yeah.
Are the Jazz in this? Okay, the NBA is coming back. Yep. Okay, they're doing this bubble league down in Orlando. Are the Jazz? The Jazz are in.
Yeah, the Jazz are good right now. They're really good. Donovan Mitchell, yeah. Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles is the hero
out.
Of all dads in the world. Joe Ingles is like the new John Stockton, not because of his skill set, but because he's also dorky.
Well, Dredd, I think I'm going to highly invest in your Jazz. My Hawks are out. They're on the outside looking. Mm. I've been a Hawks fan for my whole life, but I think I'm going to have to invest in your Jazz for this season.
Let me
just give me some rooting interest.
Well, let me just give you a little word of caution. I do not pay very close attention to the NBA. So I know that the Jazz are good. I know that they're in the picture, and they're very exciting. Donovan Mitchell is good, but –
Donovan Mitchell's great. But in Utah, what else do you have to do? You're in Utah. You've got one professional sports franchise.
Hiking, going to church, lots to do.
Yeah, do you not follow him on Twitter? Unicycling in the mountains?
I'm not on Twitter anymore. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know he unicycles. I know he likes being outdoors. I know he likes math. Yeah. Okay, and no, he likes Greg Ostertag.
Well, and let me also be clear that my interests do not reflect the interests of other Utahns. I am one of a kind.
Interesting.
Do you guys?
I got a question about Utah. Does Utah have like a cap on their alcohol percentage of their beer?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard this rumor.
Yes, absolutely. So, it's very low. I think if you go to a liquor store, you can get like higher percentage, but at a grocery store, it's like very, very low.
Okay, so you can get like the basic stuff, probably like your name brand.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to drink a lot of it to feel something.
Like, you can get Rolling Rock, probably?
Probably. I don't.
Let's see. Rolling Rock.
No one drinks Rolling Rock except for you, Josh.
That's just not true.
So, angry video game nerd loves Rolling Rock.
Let me ask you a question. College football in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
You've got Utah BYU, the Holy War.
That's big.
Okay.
It's huge.
You got Kyle Whittingham and the Utes, Kalani Sitake and the Cougars.
I love the Utes.
There's like competing billboards where there's like the Utes coach is like, you should donate a kidney. And the BYU coach is like, you should do this. And it's like,
donate your heart.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Okay, Utah State. Who's Utah State's head coach? I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Do you know?
No. I know that our – well.
I think I knew it.
So let me tell you a quick story about Utah State. So when I started at Utah State 2007, they were the worst, like lowest ranked team in all of college football. Absolutely atrocious. Didn't win a single game. We got blown out by Boise State on our home field 52-0. Never forget that game. And then by the time I graduated in 2013, Utah State finished 16th in the nation. That was 2013. Utah State was like really good. And the coach that turned it around was Gary Anderson, who went to Wisconsin.
Yep. And then Oregon State.
I think he's back at Utah State now.
Yep.
So I think he's the head coach.
Yeah, Chucky Keaton was the
quarterback. Chucky Keaton was so good. He couldn't stay healthy. But
yeah, he
that
was
sounds
a
like a makeup made up name. You guys just
he
made
couldn't
it
stay
up.
Healthy,
like
but Chucky
movie.
Keaton was a stud. If he could stay healthy.
He could throw. He would throw the 50-yard bombs. He would do the scrambles. Like, it was so freaking fun to watch.
Yeah, it was for a degenerate college football gambler like me. Chucky Keaton was a fun guy to be like, well, I'll make a play on that. You know, 10 o'clock Utah State Wyoming game because Chucky Keaton. Like, I'll bet on the Aggies.
Yeah.
You know, He was a fun guy to
do. Well, I'll say something relatable to some of the audience of this. I don't remember exactly what year, maybe 2012, but it was right after Auburn won the national championship. Their very next game after winning the national championship was against Utah State, I think in Alabama.
Yeah.
And Utah State was up by like two touchdowns in the fourth quarter and
that's right.
blew it.
Yeah.
Which was very disappointing.
Auburn had to come back to win that game.
It was one of the most heartbreaking sports moments in my life. I was like in the student center at Utah State. I was a student and I was in this big room with a whole bunch of other students watching the game. It was just a big party. Everyone was having a good time and then everyone went home very sad. But
okay, I think it was 2007, guys, when Javi got that spring training invite.
Okay, that was my first year of college, so I was
and then he lost that backup job to some guy named Corky Miller.
That's for Corky. Don't besmirch the name of Corky
Miller. Josh, you were making
fun of Corky Miller.
And then you bring out Corky Miller.
Oh, I love Corky Miller.
Corky Miller was a fine defensive catcher.
That's who it was.
Robust, like,
it wasn't Brian
215 Pena. Career average.
But I was mad at Bobby Cox for that. Because, come on, it's
Corky Miller was okay. He was a great backup catcher. What's wrong with Corky? Did your cup you drink from said unicycle? Yep. Utah State. Look at that. Look at that.
Got lots of stickers on here. Chubbies. You like Chubbies? They're JT.
Look at this.
Oh, my gosh. You guys need to get a room. Like, you know,
I wear nothing but
Chubbies. Talk about Javi Lopez without me.
I wear nothing but
Chubbies. Dude, I'm the same. Love it.
Yes. They're so thank you. Can you spread the gospel of Chubbies to
aren't they just short shorts, or is there something else I'm missing?
And they're so comfortable. Dude,
they're stretchy. Oh, they're stretchy?
And they're
I thought they were just like khaki.
Comfy.
Oh, they're an actual brand? Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I thought it was Chubby like a style. Shorts. I thought Chubbies were a style.
No.
Oh, my gosh. They're the most comfortable shorts you'll ever
wear.
Really?
They're super high quality. So they're stretchy. They're comfy. It's life-changing. It really is.
Really?
They're pretty pricey. Thank you, Trent. Find a pair on sale and give it a try. It's good stuff.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Chubby shorts will change your life. I've got about six pair. That's all I wear. Oh my gosh. You guys always say, "Oh, your shorts are so short." Yeah, they're Chubbies. They're great. Why do you think Larry Bird wore them?
John Stockton.
David, so you like Chubbies. I've got a question. What's your position on Crocs?
When you remember when Crocs were new, when they were like new, like
I do. Yeah, I was in college.
Yeah, so probably like what, 2005?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was the only person I knew who bought a pair of Crocs back then.
Okay.
So I owned Crocs in high school, and I remember I was riding my bike wearing my Crocs one day, and I took a corner too sharp, and so my shoe like hit the pavement, and it like tore out a big chunk of my Croc. So. They were for a long time. I haven't owned them for a long time, but I have a positive opinion of them because I wore them and I believe that they're comfy and practical and good shoes.
Did you have them in two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive during this incident?
I don't recall.
Okay.
I know I did both. I would switch. I wasn't like a all-time four-wheel drive, all-time two-wheel drive, so it could have been either. I don't know.
I started out four-wheel drive because my friend Severo, he got me into Crocs. My friend Severo Avila, he's my Belizean friend in Rome, Georgia. Great legs, just incredible legs. Like, he's a runner / tennis player, and he would wear these Crocs. He had the camo Duck Dynasty editions.
Nice.
Okay, and you cannot find these anywhere, y'all. The Duck Dynasty camo editions had the front of them were camo, like the ones I'm wearing right now. But the back strap was yellow.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, those are sweet. And Severo would wear them in four-wheel drive. And so when I first came to the faith, that's all I knew. I just knew the four-wheel drive way of living. And so for like 5 years, I'm in four-wheel drive everywhere I go. Four-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, four-wheel drive. And then one day, it was like a Saturday morning or something, and I was just feeling sloppy, and I went to Ingles to get some like charcoal, and I put them in two-wheel drive, and I had this moment. I was like, holy shit, this is what it's like. And that was about 2 years ago, and I've been in two-wheel drive ever since.
Yeah. Well, I have a positive opinion of Crocs. They're good shoes.
JT's like, I'm so sorry that you came on this podcast.
No, man, this is
I'm a two-wheel. No,
you're kind of new to the faith, right? Crocs. What's JT, that? You're relatively new to the faith.
Yeah, I got them for Christmas. Christmas. I came across Christmas. I wear them in two-wheel drive, unless one of my kids being chased by a wild boar or something. I'll put them in four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Other than that, got to remember, I spent a majority of my life in Florida, so I'm still I'm a flip flop guy. I still enjoy a nice pair of flip flops for the most part, mm-hmm. because I did spend a lot of my life in Florida.
Yeah,
my
casual shoe is a flip flop. I lived in California for 4 years in Huntington Beach, so I have a pair of rainbow sandals, which is like California.
You and Tito Ortiz, the Huntington Beach bad boys over there.
Yeah, I moved there right after college. I got my first job out of college in Newport Beach, California.
I have a hot take question about Huntington Beach right now.
Okay.
Okay. So I've been there once.
Okay.
I went to Fullerton for business once, like 10 years ago.
Yep.
And the guy that I met out there, so the business was in Fullerton, but he lived in Huntington Beach or something. So yeah, I went to Huntington Beach. Okay. So I was only there for like a day. You were there for 4 years. Is that area conservative or liberal, or do you have a idea?
It's pretty interesting. Newport Beach is pretty conservative. Huntington Beach has a lot of – Huntington Beach is like 50-50. I feel like a lot of people in Huntington Beach probably don't care because Huntington Beach is like – it's a different country, man. It's like so laid back and just chill.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of people are just like, let me smoke my joint and like, don't mess with me. Like, I don't want to talk politics.
I love it. They're Americans.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's Huntington Beach is the most American city I know of.
Interesting. Oh, wow.
Fourth of July in Huntington Beach is insane. Fourth of July.
What's that?
For the Fourth of July. It is everything there. Very patriotic town. Very laid back, very American dream. It's like where all the people out in the West, if you want to get away from wherever you are, you move to Huntington Beach for a little while. It's like a very transient population and a lot of people coming and going. And I don't know, it's a really cool place.
Okay. I'm just asking because there was an article written this week by the New York Times. It was an opinion piece. And it was basically sort of kind of throwing shade at Huntington Beach because it was about the article. I think I retweeted it. The article was about how people in Huntington Beach don't care about like what's going on. They don't care about the mask or like what, like they're just like, and so it was just like really, correct. Really. Yeah. It was just the article to me was funny because it was this very, very left leaning guy writing this thing for the New York Times. And basically his tone was, look at these people not caring. And I'm like, yeah, they look really happy.
Well, I'm glad.
So I was just wondering if they were like
matched that completely. I mean, that's 100%. Yeah, I wouldn't say that Huntington Beach is conservative or liberal. I would just say they don't care. They just want to surf and smoke a joint, and
they don't care.
That's it.
More people should not care.
I agree.
I really wish my town was more like Huntington Beach.
Same.
Well, except for cost of living, it's outrageous.
Oh, okay. I bet.
It's insane.
Was that a bit of a culture shock, like Huntington Beach to Utah?
Well, I went from Logan, Utah, which is like farm country, Idaho, to straight to Huntington Beach. It was interesting.
Is that where you did your mission?
No.
Missionary?
No, okay. I did a mission in Chile.
Okay.
But no, so I got... Well, between my last 2 years of college, I got an internship in Huntington Beach or in Newport Beach, and I lived in Huntington. And then when I graduated, I moved out there full time to work. So, yeah, it's good time, good place. Love it there. But it is outrageously expensive to live there.
Oh, really?
That's kind of why I moved back to Utah, is because I was single the whole time I lived there. And I was just, it's hard to imagine like raising a family here because we're going to have to live in a tiny little apartment and it's going to suck. And it's like, now I live in Utah in a nice home and I'm very happy.
You seem happy. That's good.
Yeah, life's good.
My cousin Kent actually went out to LA to try to be an actor. He wasn't very successful at it. And the business trip I had just mentioned actually about 10 years ago, actually it was 2011 because it was the All-Star game when Jair Jurgens, I think, started that game. And I'm out in full.
Halliday did, but Jurgens was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Halliday.
Okay. So yeah. I'm out there for business. It was for a couple of days or something. And at the time, Cousin Kent is literally trying to make it as an actor. So it's a true story. So we met up at a bar on the Santa Monica Pier to watch the All-Star game.
Okay.
And I forget where I'm going with this. I don't know what the point of this story was other than what I'm saying is, so Kent and Holly get married and move out there, and Kent's trying to be an actor. They have a baby. They have Duncan, their little boy. And very quickly, they both realize we do not want to raise our kid out here around all these freaks. And so they move back to Georgia. Yeah. And it was very expensive, too. So.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Yeah. But it was really pretty, though. I remember driving from, I think Huntington Beach to L.A. because I wanted to see Beverly Hills. I had never been to Beverly Hills. And I wanted to see, the Troubadour and Hollywood and Beverly Hills. So I drove my rental car, from Huntington Beach.
The 20-mile from Huntington Beach to L.A. that takes 8 hours?
Yeah. And I remember, being from Metro Atlanta. I just remember hopping on I don't even remember how many interstates.
You have to,
and unless you've ever been out, you don't understand unless you've been out there.
Freeways to get between any two places.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's like you're watching your little, at the time, Garmin, even though I still use a Garmin. And it's you're getting off an exit, and every couple miles, you're getting on a new interstate. It's very weird.
Yeah, crazy.
Anyways, but you're in Utah now, and that's all. I've only been to Zion. I've only been to Zion in Utah.
Very beautiful, very different from where I live, but we are very proud to have Zion and Bryce Canyon and all those places. We're very proud of those places. Arches National Park is my favorite.
Okay. Well, it's been an honor to have you on the show. And what are your thoughts on the season? I was going to ask you that too. What are your thoughts on, because I need some coaching because I'm salty and crotchety about this whole thing. I've got a lot of strong feelings about this. Today at the radio station, my buddy Mike, who does our sports, he was like, "Are you excited? Baseball's back." He's a big White Sox fan, and I'm like, "There's no fans. I don't know." And he was like, "It's funny because he's usually the old crotchety one. He's literally 70, and I'm usually the young fun person in the relationship." And I was like, "I don't care, man. There's no fans. This is stupid." He's like, "Shut up. It's baseball. This is going to be awesome." I'm like, "No, it's not. How?" You know? So what are your thoughts? Am I being an idiot? Should I just shut up and watch it?
Well, you are the most famous Nick Markakis fan in the world, so that's not very surprising that that's your opinion. that was his exact reasoning for opting out. I don't know. Nobody's ever been in this situation. Nobody's ever been in this position where we got all excited for baseball season and then just had to have it sucked out of our lives for all this time. So I don't know. I guess there's all the fear from the virus people that just kind of want to get you down every day. But I don't know. I'm super excited about this season. I see a lot of people talking about how this championship isn't going to mean as much. And I don't know. I guess I care about World Series probably slightly less than most people do. I really love a good division championship. And I think that this is going to be the coolest division championship to ever win because you're playing a higher percentage of your games within the division and it's a one of a kind. This is never going to happen again. So the teams that win the divisions this year, I don't know. I think that's pretty cool to say that we won this absolute sprint of a season. And I think that's going to be pretty cool to hang your hat on. So I'm really excited about that. I think that it's going to be fun watching. We got to play the Yankees a bunch and the Red Sox a bunch. Don't normally get that. I'm excited about that. And I don't know. I'm terrified that one of our players is going to test positive, get like a false positive test like Juan Soto probably did and have to miss a bunch of the season. But
yeah. Yeah. You're so positive. You're so positive.
I try to be. I mean, I don't know.
Idiot.
Positive idiot.
I feel like I have two.
Haven't you learned anything from Braves Twitter? You can't be positive. What's wrong with you?
I think I'll change my bio to positive idiot.
I think that, listen, I'm probably going to watch, but let me try to explain myself. It's not just that there's no fans. It's that it's like the normalcy of it. There seems to be people who they're almost like championing this whole like fake crowd noise stuff and, you know, virtual fans and they think it's cool. And I'm like, stop, just shut up. Just, I don't know.
Yeah. The virtual fan thing is pretty lame.
And if you say anything about it, that's what bothers me too. If you, because I've seen like random fans say, you know, this is weird, or I don't like this with no fan. Like one guy made a video the other day, like about, he's like, I don't really know how I feel about this no fans thing. And then you see like 40 responses calling him an idiot, you know, for not watching baseball because of that. I'm like, it's a valid gripe, you know, like no fans, come on, you know.
Yeah. Well, so I guess I also partly have a different perspective because I have always had to just watch the Braves from my couch. It's really hard for me to get out and see actual Braves games. So I'm kind of just used to the virtual experience. Like people that are out in Georgia, it's like you try to go to a few games a year or whatever. And I don't really have that luxury. So it's a little more normal. It feels less weird to me just because I'm like so disconnected from the ballpark experience. Like I don't really care who's in the stands on any given day. I just want to watch the guys play. So I don't know if that's just like my attitude or opinion, or if it's really driven by the fact that I don't really get to go to major league games all that often.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Okay. Well, maybe I'll take your positivity to heart
I rarely, because I have a family, I have a daughter and a wife. I rarely sit down and like intently watch 3 hours of baseball. And by rarely, I mean never. So it's the kind of thing that it's like, and living here in the mountain time zone, it's like the games start at 5 o'clock. So I turn on the game, dinner and watching dinner and cleaning up dinner and then later doing the laundry and all that. So it's not in the background. And like, I don't think I'm really going to notice that there's not any fans there. I never do.
Wait, so you're doing the laundry and you're doing the cooking?
I do my own laundry.
I feel like a butthole because I have 3 kids and a wife. And
yeah, you don't do shit.
I don't do shit, and I intently watch the game. Like, this is what I do. This is my hobby. Leave me alone. Don't interrupt my game watching. That's like, how I am.
He's not kidding. He's not kidding.
That's not a joke. That's not a joke.
We were at Kenny's house like 3 weekends ago, and there was some stupid golf tournament on that we didn't even know what it was.
Right.
But JT was like, stop talking to me, woman. I'm watching this golf tournament.
I'm watching. I got DeChambeau to win this damn thing. Leave me alone. I'm like a pirate when the like stuff comes on. I'm a degenerate gambler and I'm a sports fanatic. That's
another time for you, Josh. I think if you caught the walk-off home run by Matt Adams the other day, I think there was a lot of fear that celebrations and stuff were going to be really lame and watered down. But it's like the guys were all high-fiving and having fun. And
were they really? Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good.
They were when definitely breaking the protocols
like,
and
today
high-fiving.
I watched SportsCenter. Okay.
Yeah.
Like today I watched SportsCenter and they threw up the rules, the MLB rules. The COVID rules or whatever, and one of them was no face-to-face arguing with the umps. And you guys know me. I wanted to just shoot things.
So. You know there's going to be yelling from the dugouts, and you're going to be able to hear it on the microphones, and John Boy is going to break it down, and we're going to love it.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Well, David, it's been an honor. You're one of my favorite people in the Braves Twitter sphere, and it's been cool to to call you a friend over the last few years, and hope you come back.
Thank you. It's been very fun to chat with you guys.
Say bye, JT.
Bye, JT.
Bye, JT.
And now it's time for Around the Majors with Josh and JT, where Josh and JT keep you abreast of all the latest happenings from around Major League Baseball. Don't have an ESPN Insider subscription? Will no one share their athletic subscription with you? No problem. This shit's free. Now, here's Josh and JT.
JT?
Hey.
Are you ready to go around the majors with me? It's been a minute. It's been a while.
The whole majors? We're going around the entire majors?
Yep. We are coming out of retirement, and we're going to cover baseball because that's what this podcast was built on.
Wow. Okay.
We've lost our way. We've gone down all the rabbit holes. We've attracted new fans. We've lost some other fans. But
that's
we're
okay.
Back. We're back to the basics. We're back to around the majors, JT.
That's right. Yeah, you know, we're fine. We're being ourselves. We're having fun. And we don't need anybody else to come pick us up along the way. We are good to go around the majors.
We're bringing in the news. That's what we do. We are unbiased baseball reporters right now, bringing you guys the news the way it was intended to be brought. And here we go. First up, let's see here.
I'm glad you're looking at this because I am not.
Julio Teheran has COVID.
Oh, wow. Well, being at home, having COVID, he will not be able to give up a 2-run homer in the first inning, which is a positive.
That's true. That's
for
true.
Him. To be honest with you, when you guys told me that Julio Teheran had joined the Angels 6 months ago, I thought he was dead.
Not the literal Angels, the baseball team Angels, right?
It was lost in translation. I understand that. I think it'd be okay. I mean, like he's young. He's like 29. He's in good health. He'll be okay. I mean, it stinks for the Angels. He'll
according
be out
to
for
Twitter,
a bit.
He might die, and he should. We should be very worried.
I don't think he's gonna die. I think he'll be okay, and he should be back in about 2 weeks, and he'll be all right. Julio Teheran, I'm telling you, Angels fans, anybody that happens to be listening, is an Angels fan. Is he like...
we got a lot of Angels fans listening to this show.
I bet. A ton of them. At least like one and a half. Is he Justin Verlander? No. But is he a really damn dependable, solid, right-handed starting pitcher? Hell yes, he is. And give him 2 weeks. He'll be right back. And yes, he'll be giving up like a homer in the first inning every single time.
I'll handle it on Twitter today. Was salty about Teheran and tweeted about... how he was salty about the Braves signing Cole Hamels in lieu of Julio Teheran, which I feel like might be comparing apples to oranges, perhaps. Even though I love Julio Teheran and kind of was upset about him leaving, but yeah. He did one of those like side-by-side he's like, here's what Julio Teheran's making, here's what Cole Hamels is making, here's their production. Da, da, da. He was like all mad about it. I'm like, I like Cole Hamels. I think the Braves made a mistake.
I think Cole Hamels is probably a much better pitcher than Julio Teheran. So.
Is he better looking? Is he better looking, Cole Hamels?
Yes.
I think so too. Yeah.
If there was a gay Marlboro man, it'd be Cole Hamels.
For sure. Teheran is handsome. He's got those chicken legs.
No doubt.
He's got chicken legs.
The worst thing about Teheran, he's been in the same place for too long, and you've seen what you get from him, and then you just dream of the grass being greener on the other side. And that's honestly the worst thing that Julio Teheran could have ever done, is just stay in the same place for too long. That's it.
All right. Let's see here. Moving on. The Atlanta Braves signed Big City Matt Adams to a minor league contract, and I think did he make the team? Did he make the roster?
Yeah, he's on the roster.
Big City, how do we feel?
Oh my gosh, walk off homer the other night, and it was an exhibition game, mm-hmm. But I'll take it. Look, he provides relief in the COVID hit Yasiel Puig, and that was understandable, whatever it happened.
He's asymptomatic. Hope he gets better.
I hope he survives. But in lieu of Yasiel Puig, you can't do much better than Big City. I mean, dude, here's your designated hitter. Here's a lefty that crushes homers to that short right field porch there at Truist Park. Dude's going to make a killing. The guys know him. Snicker knows him. Everybody likes him. He can fit right in. Dude, I love it. Love it.
He's got the diamond earrings. What are your thoughts on the diamond earrings?
The studs.
The studs. Is it a little bit dated or do we care?
Very dated. I think it's very dated. I think it's, look, if you, it brings me back to the days of the wars between No Limit and Cash Money as far as who had the best record.
I think
company.
About P. Diddy when I think of the studs.
Oh, very much P. Diddy. Mm-hmm. Saga continues, Bad Boy for Life, kind of. It's very dated as far as 18, 19 years ago. Gotta let the studs go, man.
I feel like baseball players live in such a bubble sometimes that they often get dated in their attire. Sometimes it feels like, because they don't really, when you think about it, like they live in a bubble and they're traveling, they're in their baseball bubble.
Yeah, they don't know. That times have changed, and it's
they
not,
don't know. They have no idea. Like right. Matt Adams might he might. Still think P. Diddy's a thing. He doesn't. He might not know.
He might have frosted tips for all we know. He might come out with like what me, as you've seen in junior high school with like puka shell necklaces.
He might not know.
With one for an interview. That's not okay anymore, man. You can't do that.
We should get him on the podcast and talk about it.
We should. We should show him pictures of ourselves. Been like, hey, man, this was us years ago. This is you now. You have to, like, an intervention. Like, stop.
We should have a Matt Adams intervention about the studs.
Yeah,
for sure.
You can't do the studs anymore. Even the hoops. Like,
not either one. Yeah, both are.
I can't tell you a single male athlete that has their ears pierced anymore. Like, it used to be a thing. No. Like I remember like Dion having like the cross earrings, kind of like a George Michael kind of thing. And
right.
Even like pierced ears. Barry Bonds was big to have the earring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't even tell you guys have earrings anymore. It doesn't seem to be a thing anymore.
It's not, Matt. Matt, if you're listening, just hit us up. DMs are open. It's a safe place here. And
stop shopping an American Eagle. You're 36.
Exactly.
Thank you.
See, moving on. Let's see here. As part of the 16-team expanded playoff, JT, the number one, number two, number three seeds in each league, the division winners, would pick their opponents among the other five teams.
I like this.
Via a selection show, according to Buster Olney.
I love this.
What are your thoughts? This sounds very interesting.
This is so good because not only does it say, like, okay, like, it's a cool way to, like, get the field out there, but it's also a middle finger to the team you selected. Hey, we think we can beat you. Number one seed to the number six seed. Mm-hmm. And so it's an automatic chip on the shoulder for the number six seed. Like, what motivation do you need other than the other team picks you and like, oh yeah, easy prey right there. What else do you need to be motivated? This is such a cool idea. I can't believe, like, I hope more sports pick up on this. Like, I know traditionalists don't like this, but I think it's really cool because as a wrestling fan, it has a built-in storyline. Like, why does this team hate this team? Because they said they're an easy out and they're an easy victory. Dude, that's just like writing a television product. And that's, honestly, that's what sports is a television product. This is great. This is great. I love it.
You're a good salesman. Because when I first saw it, I was, you know me, I'm a crotchety old baseball purist and stuff. I didn't know how I felt about it. It felt weird because I've never seen it before. But I can see how it'd be cool. Yeah, especially if you're a kid. Especially if you're, because I think that's what baseball needs to do. And we talked about it before. They need to forget about guys like me because I don't really matter in the big scheme.
No, you're right.
The future of baseball. We need to focus on the 11-year-olds. The 9-year-olds, and I feel like if I'm a kid, I'm tuning in, man, and this is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Right, and you're just boiling it down to the simplest terms to get people on TV to watch it, and I think that's such a cool way to do it, to be, you know, you're coming into a playoff series with built-in animosity. Mm-hmm. You picked us just because you thought you could beat us? Well, we're going to show you. And so imagine that chip on the shoulder when the fastball comes in high and tight. You know, yeah. Imagine that chip on the shoulder when a guy takes one off the left butt cheek. Mm-hmm. Hey, that adds an extra amount of pressure and angst when it comes to a playoff series. I like that. That's pretty cool. Like, I think this could really work. I know it sounds cheesy to get to say they pick the guys, but
from follow-up question.
Yeah.
Follow-up question.
Okay.
Not to be a Debbie Downer, but to maybe be a little bit of a Debbie Downer. Do we think it's going to even happen? Because, like, what are the chances we have an... What are you looking at? Everything okay?
Much in the Dodgers, Giants.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What are the chances of another lockdown happening? You know? I think the chances are relatively good, politically.
No, in baseball?
I don't know, man. Like, I think that... These aren't very popular opinions. I'm not going to say this on Twitter because I don't feel like getting called an idiot for 4 days. But I think there's a lot of people with a lot of power who are really pushing for kind of some kind of shutdown to where we can't vote.
Yeah, you
know?
But
so I could see it happening. I don't know. I could see weird stuff happening.
The numbers
in October, November.
Right, but the numbers tell us that baseball is going to play. The amount of guys that have been tested, the amount of guys that tested positive is absolutely minuscule.
Logically, baseball is going forward. But we're dealing with illogical socialists who want to ruin our country, JT. That's what I
think. But as long as baseball players are fine, the baseball players are going to play. That's all that matters. All
right.
Everybody else will just hang on until November 4th when this whole thing goes away.
Okay, you heard it first here, folks. JT. The voice of hope.
I'm just telling you what I know, folks.
Okay. Moving on. Let's see here. Sources say that in a 16-team postseason, all first-round games in a best-of-three first round would be played at the home of the higher seed, so there would be no travel day.
Wow. So all a best of three, all three would be played at the home seed. No travel day. I guess that makes sense, being in the world we live in with COVID. You know, you want to limit travel as much as possible. Okay, makes sense.
That gives you an incentive to basically, I mean, obviously, there's so many incentives this season, obviously, but one of them is to win. And so the better team gets, the higher seed gets to be played at home. So, okay.
My biggest problem with that is best of three.
Yeah, I don't like best of three either.
Because, golly, baseball, there's the only sport that I'm talking major sports. I'm not talking about, like, cricket. The only sport where the ball is outside of your control, okay? Like, in basketball, you can put the ball in your best player's hands. In football, you can hand the ball or throw the ball to the best player on the field.
Yeah.
In hockey, you can pass the puck to the best player on the ice.
Right.
In baseball, there's only so much you can control, and the rest is left up to variables. And right. That's why baseball is so important to have a bigger season.
That's such a great way to put it, yeah.
Because you can't control it, even if you're the best player in baseball.
Like, David Fries was the hero in, like, a World Series.
Right. Yeah. You could be the best player in baseball, and you have a 1 out of 9 chance of affecting the game for that team as far as your offensive output. Yeah. You know, and so what I texted, you know, we talked about this in the group text earlier tonight, and I said, guys, be prepared for a Padres-White Sox World Series, because a best of three, that's happenstance. I mean, it's just the way it is.
It's a good way to put it.
Be prepared for this to be a very, very weird playoff. Right. Right now, I'm on TV, I'm watching, we saw the Nationals-Yankees play earlier.
Right.
I'm watching the Giants just went up on the Dodgers. Be prepared to have teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers. I think they'll be in the playoffs. I'm pretty sure they will be.
Right.
But I wouldn't bet money on them being in the NL and AL, you know, CS.
Yeah. And also be prepared for, you know, average to lower than average players having a good season. Because baseball is a marathon. How many times have we seen a guy, you know, be Eric Thames, right? Yep. Those kind of guys. Billy Butler,
the
first 40 to 60 games of a season, they're like Babe Ruth, and then they just fizzle out because that's baseball. That's baseball.
Sure.
So that'll be
sure.
interesting. I mean, to see.
Think about this. Your Cy Young this year has gone about 8 wins.
That is
that's your Cy Young winner.
Freaking weird.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. 60 games. They're going to have, you know, what?
That is so weird.
12 starts, maybe? I mean, you know, so yeah. You're Cy Young this winter. Say Jacob DeGrom wins the Cy Young with a 6-2 record.
I mean, I predict Cy Young.
It's going to be weird.
The Cy Youngs will be relatively no name guys just because it's just a weird season.
It could be a guy who just incredibly hot for a stretch and posts a 1.10 ERA.
Right.
And is 7-1. You know, just these things could happen. And baseball is a weird sport to begin with. Baseball is one of the weirdest sports from a numerical standpoint. As far as statistics go, it's a crazy sport because the ball bounces all sorts of crazy ways. And you can make a great pitch that's hit for a 3-run homer, and you can make a terrible pitch that's a ground out to second base. That's true. How baseball is. And we don't know. We've never had a season like this. So we have no idea what to expect as far as teams to make the playoffs, as far as award winners.
If there was fans, and I know why there's not fans. I get it. I just wish there was fans.
I get that. I get that you say that. But again, if the Braves are playing the last season or the last series of the season for a push to the playoffs, you're not going to care. You're going to be in it. You're going to be in it.
Yeah, I know. And I'm salty, too. They're wearing like a patch of a political organization on their jersey, too. It just makes me feel weird.
But you know what? Winning cures everything. Winning cures everything. And you're not going to care when it comes down to winning. You're going to want to win. That's human nature. You want to win.
I think you want to be associated
with winners.
All silliness aside, I think the only way that I'm like, I'm done, because I always say that I'm done every year. But I think the only way I really would be, if they really did change their name, I think I might be done.
I wouldn't be done with that. But you know me. I will. Yeah, I will do it. I will die with my sports teams, attached to me. That's just the way I am. Yeah. I'm a weirdo. I don't care. It's just a new shirt to me. If they say we're the Atlanta,
it's more than that to me.
George Costanza's. I will buy an Atlanta George Costanza T-shirt. That's just cost me $20. Whatever. I don't care.
I'd be a Reds fan or something. moving on. Let's see here. MLB players received a $50 million guarantee by agreeing to extended playoffs. Could be more depending on whether there are fans and the gate receipts meet a certain figure. But $50 million is baseline at least, right? I think it's a pretty good job on both sides. Yeah. What are your thoughts? $50 million guarantee. I guess that's spread out, I guess. It's divvied up.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah, it can't be $50 million per player, obviously. I wouldn't think. So I guess it's $50 million guaranteed, divvied up by agreeing to expanded playoffs. So is that everybody, even if they don't make the playoffs, or is that just the people that made the playoffs?
Well, let's see. Okay, so what I understand is as of now, this is Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
16 teams make the playoffs, is that right? 16?
Eight
from each league?
Correct. Okay.
Kind of crazy, but we say crazy, but that's normal in most leagues. Yeah, so I guess spread apart. I think baseball has always been too cheap when it comes to letting people in the playoffs. The old days of being the playoffs and be like, oh, the top two teams. One from the East and one from the West. Let's back up.
We got a lot of young listeners who might not know this, but back before 1969, the playoffs was the postseason was the World Series. So basically,
that was it.
Pre-1969, the team with the best record in the AL plays the team with the best record in the NL, and that's the World Series. Then they had playoffs.
Yeah. Right.
And what was the format, JT?
They went east-west. East-west. So
that was the pennant.
From two teams to now four teams.
Four. Right.
And so the winner of the East played the winner of the West, mm-hmm. and you had one play round before they got into the World Series.
That's back when the Braves were in the West, oddly enough. And right. When me and JT grew up, we actually grew up watching the Braves play the Dodgers a lot. Late games.
A lot of late games, yeah.
Yep. So for years and years, to JT's point, the postseason was very limited. It was a high bar to get in.
So. Yep. Yeah, and I think that was like, okay, like, so the NBA lets in, I think they have 30 teams and over half of them get in the playoffs. Okay, yeah, the cheapest of playoffs, whatever. It's fun to watch because the more teams you can sell hope to, the better your league is as a whole. Because, you know, I mean, if you're trying to sell season tickets for a franchise, the number one thing you have to sell them on is hope. The chance that you might win the championship this year. Right. And the better off you are to do that is you got to provide them the opportunity to play for the championship. And I get it's against baseball to be like 16 teams and people recoil at that, but what? That's crazy. No, I mean, look, the cream will rise to the top. Like, I still have faith that probably the best teams are going to win most of these things, but that's what makes sports fun is that your team could come in as the 8th seed and win the whole damn thing. And that's what makes sports crazy and fun and exciting. You know what I mean? It's not... If the favorites just won every year, it would be boring and anticlimactic, and yeah. You wouldn't be able to sell a whole lot of tickets to a lot of fans who were on the outskirts. But yeah. Being able to sell hope, man, that elevates the entire sport. Because
you're really good. You should sell stuff for a living or something.
I actually do sell stuff for a living. So
oh, okay.
Works out.
All right. Next up, Fauci throws out the first pitch last night, JT. Threw the ball down the first baseline and somehow was still more accurate than his predictions about COVID. What are your thoughts?
Anthony Fauci seems like a good guy. I think he's a Brooklyn dude. You know, I mean, he seems like a.
I can't look at him the same ever since Kenny talked about how handsome he was. I'm like, dude, what
is Kenny? For some reason, wants to sleep with Anthony Fauci. I'm not sure. Of all the man crushes you could have, and I've got a few. Josh, sure. you've got a few.
I do.
Kenny has a weird man crush from Anthony Fauci. I'm not sure why. Jeff Francoeur. To me, Jeff Francoeur, is a handsome dude.
Jeff Francoeur is a handsome guy.
I can have a couple middle
lights. But Kenny talks about Fauci like he's George Clooney.
I don't get this, right? Like, I don't understand this. I will say this about Anthony Fauci. He's doing the best he can in a scenario that he did not dream himself into a year ago today. Yeah. Like, at no point did he ever thought he'd be put on this kind of pedestal. And
like,
have
he
to
didn't
give
think there was
going to
be like a scandemic
right.
during a
right. And
election
no, he's,
year.
He's
no
supposed
idea.
To have yeah. all the answers to supply to everybody. To like honestly, we're in times right now with this pandemic. That's
laid off millions of healthcare workers.
Right. But it's nothing we can compare it to. We have nothing to
that's true.
Compare this to. Right. And poor Anthony Fauci is
we've never had
to
fight socialism from within like we have now.
No, we haven't. We have not. But at the same point, he's supposed to give answers that satisfy everybody in this country. And what a lose-lose situation this is. Like we're supposed to adhere to his words of wisdom where he doesn't know any more than we do because we've never been through this before. And anybody in medicine could tell you, like, yes, we have assumptions and we can make our best guesses as to what, you know, the best practices are to defeat said virus or, you know, to stay as healthy as possible. But,
yeah,
hey, everybody's got their hands up in a shrug motion like, I don't know, you know. And so I do kind of feel bad for the guy because – what's he supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, what's he supposed
like
to say?
I feel like he's wearing a mask for total BS reasons. And that's no slight at him. He might have good motives and just be like, you know, maybe your take on him is accurate in that he just, you know, doing the best he can, you know, doesn't really know what to do and he's never been here before. But when I see him wear a mask, I feel like he just – he's just doing it because they told him to do it, and he knows deep down like this is a bunch of crap, you know.
Oh, sure,
you can tell because he takes it off.
But aren't we all? I mean, look, like
100%.
I don't wear a mask usually, but there's certain stores I go into. I'll wear a mask because most people in there are wearing a mask, and I will go along to get along. You know what I mean? Like, fine, whatever. If it makes you feel better, I'll wear a mask. By the way, I've worn this mask to like 50 different places. It has all sorts of diseases on it, and whatever, you're probably going to get those diseases. But I'll wear a mask just so no one gives me a cross look and you know, tells me I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how we all are. Like, 99% of this country is just people that want to wake up and go to work and pay their bills and go home and get along with everybody. That's 99% of this country. Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel about wearing a mask. Sure. Do I care about it? Not really. But will I put on a mask and go to Publix to buy my, like, frozen pizzas? Sure. Whatever. Yeah. Right. I'll put on a mask for a little bit. Cool. If it makes you feel better, great. That's fine. I don't care. You know, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
So no. Do I think Anthony Fauci has to have the absolute answers for everybody? No. I don't expect him to.
He can't pitch.
Yeah, well, he can't pitch. He sucks. I mean, we had a fantasy draft the other night, and I didn't even think about drafting Anthony Fauci because his left leg flies open. So he loses himself. Oh, God.
He's also short. He's short. And so, not a lot of... Not, unless you got some big-ass, you know, thighs and some big... a lot of low end, you
hips.
Know, like...
He's got open hips. The open hips. And it flies out.
The only short guys that are good at baseball are like built like running backs, like Mike Hampton.
Yeah,
wasn't tall.
He's
got had that badonkadonk.
He's
got
no
that lower
body strength at all. His hips fly wide open. He can't control the strike zone at all. And I don't honestly, if I'm looking at Anthony Fauci, I can't tell you a single pitch he can throw for a strike.
I can't either.
Yeah, so a fringe prospect at best.
I agree with that.
Objectively long swing.
Objectively long, yeah. Moving on. MLB they got a cheering app. There's an app, apparently, that you can pump in cheers or boos, apparently, to parks. I don't know how this works. I have no idea what's going on. I don't even know what Snapchat is. I don't even know what most things are on the internet. I know what Twitter is. I know what Facebook is. I know what the Drudge is. That's about it.
Yeah, so apparently you can vote on your app as to whether you want to boo or cheer a play. Is that right?
Basically. I don't know. A play? A single play?
I think so.
So it must happen quickly then, because plays are quick or and spontaneous. So like a batter's up to bat, and you can vote on that situation.
Apparently, yes. That's as what I understand.
Okay, that's weird. I don't know how I feel about it. What are your thoughts on piping in music and cheers just in general? Do you think it's weird or cool?
What else are we going to do? You might as well. I mean, what? It's weird in general, but what would you rather have? Like total silence?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Part of me thinks total silence would be better than I don't know.
I would rather.
I just think there should be fans.
I would rather
let them all in. Let's all get the damn
thing. We'll get to that point. We'll get to there being fans in the stadium. We'll get there. But in the meantime, let's just like play music. Let the DJ just be like, hey man, let's do like your favorite music. Let's just play it. Like, just like let it roll, man. Like. And just have a good party going in the back. You know what I mean? Like,
that'd be kind of cool.
Hey, what do you like? When you're Skinner, you like Grateful Dead? You like Metallica? Like, whatever, man. Just let it play in the background. Just be like, we're just going to rock out here in
like
the
a wedding DJ kind of does his thing.
Yeah. Like, do the electric slide the seventh inning stretch instead of damn Cracker Jacks and, you know, all that stuff. Just get everybody up and we'll all do Mr. C's Cha-Cha Slide.
We'll clap
now, y'all. Take it back one time. Bah. Let's do it.
Let's see here. Kenny sent me a complete list of players that have opted out. I don't really want to click on it, but I have an idea.
Who's
obviously like Eric Young, Markakis.
He's not a player. Markakis,
let's see here. Jordan Hicks for the Cardinals, Mike Leake, David Price, Buster Posey. Indians coach Brad Mills. On the Nationals, Joe Ross, Zimmerman, and Wellington Castillo have all opted out. Pirates, Hector Noisy has opted out. Just yesterday, Red Sox relief pitcher, hailing from Berry College out of Rome, Georgia, Colin McHugh opted out.
Mm-hmm.
Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond opted out. Twins coach Bob McClure and Bill Evers both opted out. White Sox relief pitcher Michael Kopech.
Oh, yeah. Kopech's a big one.
Yeah. Free agent relief right-hand pitcher Tyson Ross. So for me, Kopech, Buster Posey, and Zimmerman are like the big ones to me. Yeah. David Price. Mike Leake, I guess, would be kind of big.
David Price.
He's on his last leg, but I mean, he's. And then obviously Nick Markakis.
Well, Bill Shanks wants to trade for him. I don't know, man. Like, that's a big one. Is Kopech's the big one I would get because his, I think, what's his pitching coach that came out and said, I'm worried about him? No, Kopech is a young guy. He's an up and coming prospect the White Sox are really banging on their future. Duke can touch 100. I mean, he's got some firepower. But like I want to say it was a pitching coach for the White Sox came out and say he's worried about him. Like he's got anxiety, depression issues. Maybe not all there in the head. You know, maybe he has some stuff. And I hope he's okay, man. I hope he's all right because it I don't know. It seems like a weird thing with him. Kopech's got some stuff though. Like he was a big.
He got the sauce.
Yeah, he's got the sauce. He was a big linchpin for like the, the White Sox are a team there, but it looks at it as like got a lot of young dudes for the White Sox. They could be
I watched a clip of one of their exhibition games this past week, and I don't know if it was an exhibition uni or if it's like a regular season uni, but it looked freaking awesome. It was like it was black top, white bottoms, but it was like the vintage '80s, White Sox logo. It looked sick, dude. Yeah, looked really good. Anyways.
I don't know.
That concludes our Around the Majors, and we've got a little bit of bonus from Kenny. Other stuff not around the majors. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. NFL offering no preseason games.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
They're dumb anyway.
NFL preseason doesn't really matter. Nobody's ever enjoyed
an NFL preseason game.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Ever. Here. No one's ever been like, that was a hell of a preseason game. No.
Here's one. NFL will play Black National Anthem before games.
Is that really going to do that?
That's what it says, man.
Oh,
first of all, what is the Black National Anthem?
I'm not even going to answer that. I know the name of it, but I can't remember it. But
is it an actual thing? Is it?
There's an actual thing, yeah. Yeah.
Is it? Has it been around for a while, or did it just start?
I have no idea. I'm not trying to make. I don't want to make this a race issue by all. But
to me, it's divisive.
In and of itself, having a separate national anthem is in and of itself divisive. I totally agree. Can't.
It's weird.
You know that's what it is.
I think they're going to lose a lot of fans. I really do. And I didn't want to. I don't want to like talk about race for 10 minutes either, but like,
no,
it's kind of like NASCAR.
I don't want to talk about it. Like, it's no fun to talk about race issues. Like,
I want to talk about sports. Yeah.
No one turns into this to hear about race issues, but to me, it's just divisive to have.
They're going to lose fans, I think. Kind of like NASCAR is, in my opinion.
Here's my thing. Why is, and this is a problem I've had with when the kneeling started years ago with Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we even have a national anthem before sporting events? We all know we live in America. Yeah. We all get it. We know we're American. We don't. Why? Why are we treating this like kindergarten, where we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Why do we have to have this? Why is this?
Yeah, I've got friends that have kind of have the same kind of question about it, and I get it because there's really not a real reason.
Let's,
but
just
I guess
play the damn game. We know what country we live in. Let's play.
Yeah, I know.
We don't need to pledge allegiance to our country before we can have a football game.
My American answer to that is this: is tradition. And sometimes traditions are cool.
But how old's the tradition, though?
I don't know. It might not be that old. I don't know. But to me, it's a tradition, and I kind of like it.
Honestly, I get it. Like your normal high school game, those kind of things, it's fine. But like, if I go to a Falcons game, like I've never once been like, we gotta get to our seats before the national anthem. Like if we totally skipped it, I wouldn't even notice. Like, why do we have to do this? Like, I'm in America. Why am I? I'm in America because I love America. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't be here. Let's just play the game, and then you can avoid all this controversy.
They're creating. It's just like to me, like they're just creating all this tension anger and vitriol.
Skip all this, and just play the damn game. Because you're the National Football League, and we're here for football. So why don't you just dismiss all this controversy by just going straight to the football game, and then nobody has to worry about it in all this. Is that too simple of an explanation? I guess it is. I don't know.
Next up, effective immediately, yesterday they announced, JT, that Washington is going to call itself the Washington Football Team, pending adoption of new name, according to ESPN. This is not a final renaming or rebranding for the team. This is just a placeholder name until it finds its new permanent name in the future.
I feel like it's like an MLS team, like
Washington Football Team.
FC.
I tell you what, I gotta say, after doing this podcast the last month or so, I've learned more about the Redskins from talking, because I didn't know much about the Redskins history, but Ken had sent us that long, really good article about the history of the Redskins and how the name came about. And I listened today. I actually listened to, I guess it would have been like last Friday's Knockmanation podcast. We were at the beach, and Ken had on his father-in-law Robbie and his buddy Doug, and they were huge Redskins fans. And I don't know. I always, just because of how crazy people are, I assumed when this first happened, that the only people offended by this mainly are probably Caucasians, and that's pretty correct. So it kind of sucks, because when I learned about it, I realized that, oh my god, like some Blackfeet guy named it and came up with the logo,
he did the logo.
It's actually a really cool story. It really is, and it's a beautiful logo. Beautiful.
It is. I mean, it's a cool logo, and the color scheme is cool. It's unique. Nobody else has that color scheme. But to me, I mean, honestly, I'm saying this as a fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay? And I'm probably the only Jacksonville Jaguars fan that you know, or Kenny knows, or anybody that listens to the show knows, okay? So if they decided to move London.
John Foss.
Thank you for the glove, John. If they decided to move to London, become the London Jaguars, or if they decided that Jaguars is offensive for some reason and decided to begin the Jaguars, whatever. To me, I'm like, okay, whatever, that's cool. I still pull for them. I just had to buy a new shirt or a new hat or whatever. I don't care as much about the actual name. And I think that's how a lot of people are, in the end of the day, like a lot of people are start up upset about this. But at the end of the day, if you've been a Redskins fan for 30 years, you can't just up and change. It's just part of who you are. And so you're still going to be a fan of the team no matter what they call themselves.
Yeah, I get it. I think you're probably correct in a lot of ways. Ken said on the podcast last weekend that he doesn't think there's any Redskins fans that like this whole thing. I think he's probably correct, but I think you're also correct in that, if you've been a fan of the team for 30-some years, you're going to still probably be a fan of the team.
You know how hard it is to be like a fan of a team, and then you're like 40 years old and be like, I'm going to be a Broncos fan now?
I tried to be a Bears fan 2 years ago. Yeah. You saw me. You saw me. It was tough times, and I didn't last very long.
Yeah,
but for me though, like you got to admit that it's the reasoning, just the reason things are changed, like the Aunt Jemima and all these.
I could get it. Like
just
Red
the
skin.
Reasons are just so
yeah,
dumb.
Sure.
It's just
right.
It makes me mad that basically, like, if I'm a Redskins fan. And I'm not, but like if I am, it's like I don't want to give in to these idiots. And by idiots, I mean
sure,
not just the market. It's not the market, It's people. It's the Nikes. It's the decision makers that, you know, I just can't stand them. I can't stand them, and it sucks.
Right. But you do have to admit that even if Redskins doesn't offend you personally, mm-hmm. you can totally understand how that sounds icky. You know, mm-hmm. like, it's not the best sounding name mm-hmm. As far as a team moniker goes. Mm-hmm. It may not offend you as a person, but you can totally understand, or like, Redskins, yeah, that does not sound great. You know, there's other things right. we could do besides Redskins. And like, I'm not saying you got to act like you're offended, because I'm not. It'd be disingenuous for me as a white person, who I'm 1/6 of my great-grandmother was a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. But it would still be just disingenuous of me.
Have you verified that? Because I thought that I had.
Yes,
that situation.
I verified this from my grandfather.
I'm not questioning your family history. Kind of rude.
No, I understand. For my grandfather, who's still alive, I can ask him. He can tell.
And as we did an ancestry thing. My brother did, and I think I've told you this before. But growing up, Mama would tell us that we were 1/8. We thought we were 1/8. Forever,
right.
And then Benjamin's now wife got him an ancestry.com kit for Christmas, and so he did it. And we're like Elizabeth Warren has way more Native American in her than I do. Josh, like the whitest guys ever.
you can look at me and tell I'm not entirely white. I mean, you can look at my face and my skin.
It's true, yeah.
And say that
a little
I'm
dark.
I'm not entirely white, and that's okay. But it would still be just disingenuous for me to tell you I'm totally offended by that, because I'm not. But if someone says they were, I get that. I mean, Redskins is iffy. It's iffy. And I could get that it's a kind of a cringy name. It's cringy. Okay. So, whatever. I mean, who cares? Honestly, like, if you've been a fan for a team for like 25, 30 years, and they say we're the Washington Warriors, if you're going to change your allegiance over that, come on, dude. Because it's easy to say, but come playoff time, if they're pushing for a spot in the playoffs, you're still going to be cheering for your favorite football team, no matter what their name is. So,
okay. Last but not least, the NBA is about to drop virtual seating, just like Ken Hendricks has been talking about. Apparently, Mick Ultra has partnered with the NBA to create hashtag Ultra Courtside, which is a virtual fan experience unlike any other. I don't know. I don't know what to think about it.
Virtual courtside?
I have no idea. I don't know. This is way above my pay grade. This is like one of those Twitch things that only Twitchers can understand, like Ken Hendricks. I have no idea. Doesn't make sense to me.
I have no idea. I have sat courtside at an NBA game before. Yeah. And it's like super duper cool. Like, NBA has one of those things where, like, it's the coolest close ticket you can get in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, because you're literally, like, 5 feet from the players. It's amazing. Like, if you ever get a chance to sit courtside at an NBA game, oh my gosh. It's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, like, I've never done it.
Oh my gosh. It's so awesome. And this was a regular season game between the Hawks and the Magic in Orlando. And sat like second row courtside, and I'm 5 feet from like Tracy McGrady and Dikembe Mutombo, and I was like, "This is the coolest thing ever." They're so big, and it's right there. It's really neat. I have no idea what virtual courtside means. I have no clue. But all I can tell you is, if you ever get a chance to sit courtside at an NBA game, take it. It's one of the cooler things you'll ever do.
Well, JT, it's been an honor to be back around the majors with you.
This is always a great
time. It's been too long. It's been too long. I know. And, you know, like, thanks for putting up with my saltiness during this time. You know, and still being my friend during all this. I know it can be tough to be around.
Your salty mixed with my sweet makes for a delicious treat.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. I'll talk to you later. God bless.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Come back next week for more Around the Majors with Josh and JT, where Josh and JT keep you abreast of all the latest happenings from around Major League Baseball.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.